You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and today's program is produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. In our first story, we look at the end of an era on Galt West. I spoke with Zeef Zidek, founder of Shazam Fest, municipal councillor in Barnston West, and owner of A Pizza in Sherbrooke. After 7 years serving as both a neighborhood pizzeria and a cultural gathering spot, A Pizza will close at the end of December. Zeef explains what led to the decision, how the community has shaped the space, and what he plans to focus on next. Then we shift from food and culture to local history. I recently spoke with Barry historian Joel Barter, known for his work with the Barry Historical Society and the Eastern Township's Roots Facebook page. Joel helps residents uncover and preserve the small but meaningful items that tell the story of our region, from family keepsakes to forgotten documents tucked away in barns, basements, or sheds. Here are those conversations. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and this segment is produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. Today we're talking with Zeef Zidek, a familiar name in the township's art scene. He's the founder of Shazam Fest, a municipal councillor in Barnston West, and the creative force behind A Pizza on Galt West in Sherbrooke. After 7 years as both a neighborhood pizzeria and a cultural hub, A Pizza will be closing its doors at the end of December. I sat down with Zeef to talk about what led to the decision, what it means for the community, and what might come next. Tell me about the A Pizza situation, Zeef.
Oh yeah, we're going to be closing at the end of January. I mean, at the end of December. The parking lot, you know, that's in front of the pizzeria has been sold, and the guy's planning on building a building there for the next 2 years. So we didn't really want to stick around to, you know, 5 feet from our front door to have a construction site. You know, it's not really interesting.
Okay, so it's a parking issue.
Well, no, we still have our own parking. That's not the problem. It's just mostly, you know, Mike, who's my partner at the business and who runs the day-to-day. You know, if we're going to be, you know, we make a lot of noise. We do a lot of events. We do a lot of things. And if we're going to have, you know, an apartment building right, like, 5 feet from our front door, it takes away the pleasure of doing what we're doing, you know?
Give me a little 30-second history of A Pizza.
Well, we opened 7 years ago. We've been an intricate the center of the arts in Sherbrooke. We've been hosting jams since the November of 2018, and yeah, there's a lot of art and a lot of events that have been through our pizzeria. So it's not just the pizzeria; it's like a cultural center at the same time. And we've been feeding the neighborhood. We've given over 10,000 slices of pizza to the neighborhood, people in the neighborhood since we've opened. So, you know, that's one of the things that we are worried about the most is the fact that, you know, when we disappear, you know, a major source of food for the local population, underserved, underprivileged, and, homeless population will be screwed, you know, because we, you know, every day we feed 5-10 people, you know, every day that we're open, you know, so that's, you know, we give away 10, you know, anywhere from 5 to 15 slices of pizza a day since we've been open. So, that's the major thing that I'm worried about for our neighborhood. And, you know, and knowing, the projects that have been built in our neighborhood in the last little while, it's really sad because, most of these projects are supposed to, you know, they don't include low-income housing, which is what our, you know, what our neighborhood needs more than anything else.
Did you consider moving the pizza shop?
We're not making enough money to have the money to invest in a move, you know, honestly. We're open to... If somebody wants to become a partner or somebody wants to take over and do it somewhere else, we're willing to help out with that. We're willing to, give our equipment. If somebody wants to start a co-op, whatever, we're willing, but we just don't have the energy to start moving and doing everything on our own.
A few months ago, you announced you wouldn't be running Shazam Fest next year. Now you're closing A Pizza. What's next for you, Zeef?
Well, we're going to take a year off and make art, you know. And then we're going to come back with Shazam in 2027. But right now, I'm a little bit, running on empty and need to, concentrate on my life and myself and my art, you know. So that's what's going on right now. You know?
Oh, okay. Tell me a little bit about your art projects.
Oh, well, I'm for art. I make, I studied clothing design when I was a kid. I make, so I'm into getting back into sewing, but also, creating events is like the my main art since a long time. So, we have a whole series of shows and stuff going to be happening between now and the end of December when we close. So we'll have a bunch of events going on at the pizzeria, and then we'll see from there. We're gonna probably do we're most likely gonna do our winter carnival, our Spam winter carnival, this winter, probably at the end of January, beginning of February, and then from there we'll see. We're gonna take a summer off. We have a whole bunch of ideas that are percolating and brewing, and over the next couple months we'll. Be where we're at to do things next summer. We're not gone or going yet. So there's lots of opportunities, but at this point, I just don't have the energy to lead a project or to move the pizzeria to somewhere, because we know the pizzeria. It's a viable business, and especially if we have a place with a better, more foot traffic, it would just, it would be a much easier thing economically to leave. So, there's all of that. And plus, there's a slowdown in the economy, so people are spending less. So, we see it all coming. So
Shazam Fest will be back in 2027 with new leadership?
No. It'll just be back. It's just, I'm taking a year off, after 20 years, need a little break. Rest and recuperate and get re-inspired.
Were you re-elected as councillor in Barnston West?
I was. I was reacclaimed. I wasn't, I've never been elected. But I must not be doing such a bad job if nobody wants it, my job, This will be my fourth mandate. So I've been town councillor for 12 years and, we have a new council, We have a new member of council that just got elected, and which is cool because I'm always happy when, there's people on the council that are not retirement age that get elected council. I think it's important that young people get involved in their municipal affairs, because it's the, it's the governmental, it's the easiest influence you can have on your actual personal life and the life of the people, your neighbors, is by, being in municipal politics. And I think that's super important to have an effect on your community. And I think the problem with local politics, first of all, the money, there's not very much money involved. And a lot of people are too busy because, in a capitalist system where the rents are going up and everything is expensive, people have to work more than one job to keep food on the table and feed their kids and clothe their kids and pay rent and everything. And I think that, it creates a problem where there's only retired people in town councils and small towns, especially, So I'm happy that we elected somebody who's in their 40s and that, represent a new generation, because often on town councils, I'm the MRC of Spotty Cook, this time around there's a bunch of people in their 40s have been I think there should be people in their 20s and 30s on town councils, more so too, because they're the future, so they should be making the future plans, that's how I see it anyways. But I'm happy that we have a new person on board, and I think, we can create something, more interesting and more dynamic,
Do you have comment on the new mayor, Julie Grenier?
Yeah, she was one of our town councilors. She's definitely one of the most community, implicated of our town council. She was, she worked for Spotty Cook in community organizations, and she's now the head of the Rosinski Center in Ways Mills. She's the director general. So I think it's cool because, you know, somebody that's open-minded to culture and community and that's going to be at the head of our municipality, I think is a really good thing. You know, maybe we could start having something a little more dynamic happening in Barnes & Less because it's, you know, it's a bit hard because we're not a very cohesive municipality, you know, like, half of them have phone numbers and postal codes that are in Stansted and part in Quaticook and part in Airslip. So, you know, we were kind of like, you know, not a very cohesive municipality as far as collectivity goes, you know. But I think Julie is a good person to head it up, and we'll see. I think she'll be more open to, arts and culture. So.
What are some of the big challenges facing Barnes & West today?
Well, I think the biggest challenge, honestly, is the fact that, the Commission de Protection des Etats Laïcs has such a control over land, the fact that, farmers' children's and we just don't have place to build houses, to bring up the population in our rural areas, you know, and we're constrained by the Cité Actu. Because you can't just build houses, development is super constrained, you know. So a lot of the farmers' kids leave to make a living because they can't find lodging or housing in there. So I think that's, honestly one of the biggest things. And, the cost of everything has gone up. And, we were transferred all the, municipalities were transferred all the powers to the roads, except for the numbered roads in 1996. And, the funding for the roads hasn't followed, the giving of control. And also another problem is that the municipalities have less and less control over their physical areas. The province, often tells us what we have to do and what we can do, what we need to do, instead of us having the ability to vote for our own things. And I think that this centralized, top-heavy government way is not healthy for an open and democratic, existence. So that's what I think. And I think, the CAC always, coming down since the CAC has been in power, we've been mandated many things by the province that we have no say in as municipalities. And I think that's a problem.
One hot topic from last year, I remember, was Americans coming up and hunting coyotes on people's private property. Is that still a problem?
Yeah. We have people, that come onto our citizens' land without asking permission and hunting with dogs chasing the coyotes. And it's a problem. It's still a problem, and there's not much, unless you're caught red-handed, it's very hard to deal with the problem,
All you can do is call the SQ, right, and report it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, it takes an hour for the cops to show up. So, on a good day. So it's not such an easy thing. And it's not just Americans. It's locals, too. It's people coming from, the local area. It's not just, maybe not our municipality, but, from municipalities. They're coming with the Americans. It's not just Americans.
That was my conversation with Zeef Bzedek, owner of A Pizza on Galt West, which will close at the end of December after 7 years as both a neighborhood pizzeria and a cultural gathering place. As you heard, Zeef plans to refocus on his art, continue his work on Barnes & West Council, and eventually bring Shazam Fest back in 2027. You can find more local stories, interviews, and council coverage at cjmqnews.com. For the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM, I'm William Crooks, and this segment was produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. As always, keep your finger on the pulse. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. Today's segment, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, takes us into the roots of our region's history. I recently spoke with Barrie resident and longtime townships historian Joel Barter, someone many listeners will recognize from the Barrie Historical Society and the very active Eastern Townships Roots Facebook page. Joel has spent years helping people uncover and preserve everyday pieces of the past, from century-old wedding dresses to military banners and lost family documents. He's one of those people who shows that history isn't just about major events. It's also about the small things our families held on to. In our conversation, Joel talks about how he got started, the kinds of items people bring to him, and why he hopes residents will think twice before throwing anything away. Here's my interview with Joel.
All right. Well, my name is Joel Berger. I'm originally from, I grew up in Barrie, but I was born in Montreal. Most of the families back in the day, when it was hard to find a job, they lived out here, but a lot of them, spent the week in the city and came back out on the weekends, and that's kind of the story of my family for a few generations now. Grew up in the area. The reason I get into history was a combination of things. My grandfather, he seemed to know everybody around. He was kind of like a wheeler and a dealer, and he seemed to know everyone, so we were always driving around to visit this person or that person. And another big person would have been David Hosking, which is originally from the area. He was big in archaeology. I read his book, and he just visited all these neat places and lost places, and that kind of intrigued me, and I kind of followed down his path, I guess you could say. And, like everyone, we move away. Some stay. I moved away for probably close to 15 years. Came back to raise a family, and had some free time. And my family's one of the original 10 families in Barrie, as well as on my grandmother's side, on my dad's side. Their family founded Sherbrooke, which was Hyatt Mills. My family member was Gilbert Hyatt. So I was just asked by the Historical Society if I'd like to get involved because, as you know, a lot of people have moved out of the area and a lot of new people have moved in. There's not a lot of old families left in Barrie. I mean, there's still some, but they wanted someone who was from the area, connected to the area that everybody knew, which would, maybe gather more interest when it came to specific things we did with it, Barrie. So I started a very, sort of a historical page on my own, prior to joining the Historical Society, and then from there they built a page and a website, and, it was just a reconnect with memories of my youth and other people's youth.
So your work with historical items is through the Barrie Historical Society?
I'm the archivist with the Barrie Historical Society. We're also part of the Fédération Histoire de Québec. It's a small area. When we do an event, we usually do it with other historical societies close by, like the Compton County, and we all know each other, and everyone's intermingled. We've done events that have been financed by Quan or deal with Townships Association. Everyone seems to know each other.
Could you talk about a few items you've already saved?
Yeah, no problem. With the Historical Society since, I think, 2012 or 2013, the Barrie page I've got is, I think, coming up on close to 15 years. Eastern Townships Roots, I believe, is coming up on 5 years already pretty quick. In Barrie, some of the things, we do our events, but some of the things we save, like we had someone who gave a wedding dress from the late 1800s. They're like, we've had this forever. It's gone down through generations. We don't have children that are interested in this. We don't want to throw it out because our family cared enough about it for the last 130 years to preserve it. And they've reached out to certain historical societies and museums. And I'll be honest, like you and I know, I mean, people will take in anything, but I mean, museums only have so much space. This wedding dress, long story short, there wasn't a museum that was interested in taking it. Not that they didn't want it, they just didn't have a place to showcase it, and we just happened to have room. The dress came from a family from Georgeville, which is about, I'd say, maybe roughly an hour and 15 minutes from Barrie, but it's the same region, the same history, the same lineage from the first people that came to the area, and we had room, so we took it on. So we have a nice display case for the, you know, it's a very nice wedding dress. I mean, full waist, 1800s. I mean, you can't get any better than that. We've had people give old masks. I just didn't know what to do with it. Old high school coats, uniforms, family military medals, military uniforms, old postcards. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. I mean, a lot of people like to do scrapbooking back in the day, because that was a way of, you know, maintaining clippings and whatnot. And we've had a lot of donations of those. And, I mean, you'll find the odd pretty cool thing in there, like a contract to do the snow removal and such and such a town and something that related to their family. But, I mean, when it comes to the clippings, I mean, most of newspapers have everything accessible online now. I mean, we like to take everything we can, but I mean, like you said, everything is limited space. But yeah, no, there's old pictures, postcards, all kinds of things have been given, which are really neat.
What process should people go through if they find something you might be interested in?
They usually contact me on my email through Eastern Townships Roots. The email is info@easterntownshipsroots.com, no capitals. Or they just message me on Facebook. You can find me under Joel Barter on Facebook or through Eastern Townships Roots Facebook page. And I always tell them, unless anything has the possibility to tell our history, a lot of people, the problem is they don't know what's of interest. And sometimes neither do we. But I mean, so when people usually don't know, you know, okay, well, I don't know. I don't know who to call. I don't know what to do with it. Well, sometimes it usually gets checked out. So my suggestion is that if you're unsure, contact me. You can either send it by email or you can take a picture and send it to me and I can bring it to, usually what I do is I'll bring the email to the Historical Society and our council will go over and say, okay, is this of interest? Is this something that can or cannot be accessed online? So if it can be accessed online or if a photo can be taken, you know, it saves space, right? I mean, it's all about space. But I mean, people don't know. You don't know what little tidbit of information may be of historical significance. Like, we have people that phone or would write messages all the time talking about, like, well, I want to know what my I heard my grandfather lived on this range road in this county, and why did he choose that? Why did he choose that place? What was around it? What was there before? What lured them in? Well, you may have, you know, a family that's got, you know, paperwork from the 1840s that say, oh, well, my grandfather was there. And it's not much, but, you know, people ask and you say, oh, well, you know, such and such a family lived there in the 1860s. We have this document from them that said that the land was like this, or we built this type of house, or even there was a house there already. And it's kind of information like new people to the area want to know, okay, who owned the house before, who built it, what was the story, you know, little things like that. And a lot of people ask, well, I see here that my family was from Barrie. Well, it says they were from Robinson, Barrie, Compton, Quebec. Which one is it? Well, people not from here do not realize that Barrie used to be called Robinson. They used to be in Compton County. Now it's the Saint-François. So when you're looking back and trying to find, you know, family information to pass on to, you know, next generations, it can be difficult and it's hard to navigate to find the correct information. So my message is in could be pertinent. Don't throw it out, just ask. And we'll figure out if it is pertinent and if it isn't. And, you know, you were going to throw it out anyway. So why not take the chance? It takes 5 minutes, send an email or to get a hold of me.
So what are the kinds of things that could happen with these items in more detail?
Yeah, we usually we store them in our office. We have like a two-room office with a little closet. It's in the old town hall at Barrie. We have display case within the building. We do an open house once a year. There's also a library attached to the back where we do have display cases. And we'll try to take a theme and we'll change it out 3 to 4 times a year, stuff like that. I mean, this Barrie's not a massive place, but people do come, and you have 1st of July where people come in and take a look at things. So yeah, everything's housed at our office. We have boxes, everything's labeled as best we can. We're all volunteers, and it's quite a job. And, you know, sometimes we have the time, sometimes we don't. So don't expect everything to be 100% labeled. Everything's a work in progress, but that's what we do. Yeah, like old historical books are good. Any book written on the region, you know, like people want to hear about what it was like. So, you know, here we'll either, if we have the book we need, we'll, you know, take pictures or photocopies and give it to them and they can read. We don't usually lend out the book for the fact that maybe it won't be returned and we, you know, a family had given it. So you want to make sure that, you know, everything stays where it should be.
You've worked on numerous historical projects in the area involving the home children, military banners in Barrie, and you even worked with the CBC on abandoned buildings. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I did that with Kate McIlvery from the CBC. Oh boy, that's going back a ways now. That might have been almost 10 years ago now. We also we redid the Robin Hood Flour Mill on Main Street. That was a big project. Yeah, the military banners. We're close to 100 banners throughout the streets of Barrie now. We've done military conferences. We've restored the Christ Canterbury Church in Canterbury. We've done Festival of Food, Festival of Transportation, History of Military. I know I'm not naming them all. But we try to do one or two events per year,
What's next on the horizon for you in that respect?
Actually, next on the horizon, that's a good question. Next on the horizon is we have a Christmas tea that we have taken over for St. Paul's Home, which is no longer. They used to do a Christmas tea every Christmas. When they originally closed down a few years back, they had asked if we wanted to take that over. At the time, we were already too busy. So we did not take it on the first year, but we did do the first one last year. We'll be doing another one, I believe, I don't know the exact date, but in the beginning of December, we're going to do a Christmas tea along with the relaunching of Bernard Epps, one of his books, because Bernard Epps, as you know, lived in Gould Station, which is in Barrie. So we'll be doing a re-release of one of his books, as well as the Christmas tea, to kind of give the tradition, keep the tradition going. That'll be it for this year. We've been working on trying to do a book regarding the history of the roads in Barrie, kind of like, why is this road named this way? How did it happen in history? We figured this could have been, you know, not a very tough project, but it has turned out to be quite an extensive project that may actually end up taking years to do now, because all the town records are handwritten from the 1800s through to about 1950-ish. So unless you can read, if you're a professional at reading people's handwriting, which has turned out to be quite difficult, that's one project, like I said, we had planned on having that done for next year, but that could be years down the road. I think that's it for now. I know there's other things in the works, it's just we haven't started on them yet. We're basically just trying to get this Christmas tea and the book launch done for this year. So that's it for this year in the short term.
Anything else people need to know?
Like I said, come, you know, if you haven't already, the Eastern Townships Roots Facebook page is, we're coming up on about 50,000 members. It's very interactive. We average about 975,000 viewers per month. I put a statistic up the other day where we had 1.92 million people view the page over the last 60 days. We've got about 8,000 people active and engaging on the page monthly. You know, there's people from all around the world, people asking, people are on there asking about their genealogy. You know, my grandfather was at this address, and, you know, there's 50,000 people that are there ready to answer any question at any moment. I would give it a good 90 to 95% chance your question gets answered. So it's a great little community. Everyone's passionate. Everyone's respectful. And it's just a great way to connect with the past, the future, and the present. Yeah. Like I said, if anyone, I'll give my email again. It's info at easterntownshipsroots.com, no capitals. Fire me off a question. I usually check it once a day, and we'll get back in touch with you.
You've been listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM, and that was my conversation with local historian and archivist Joel Barter. This segment was supported by the Local Journalism Initiative. If you come across something in your attic, basement, barn, or shed, even if you're not sure it's important, Joel encourages you to reach out. You can find him through the Eastern Townships Roots Facebook page or by email at info@easterntownshipsroots.com. Sometimes a small item can reveal a much bigger story about the townships. Thanks for listening, and as always, keep your finger on the pulse. You've been listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. We began with Zeef Bzitic, whose neighborhood hub, A Pizza on Galt West, will close at the end of December. As he shared, he plans to return to his art, continue his work on Barnston West Council, and bring Shazam Fest back in 2027. We then heard from Joel Barter, who reminded us that everyday objects can hold the key to our region's past. If you find something old and you're not sure whether it matters, Joel encourages you to reach out through the Eastern Townships Roots Facebook page. A small item can sometimes open the door to a much larger story. This program was produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. For more interviews, features, and municipal coverage, visit cjmqnews.com. I'm William Crooks, and as always, keep your finger on the pulse.